code of silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a code of silence and it can't go on.
Hi, folks, I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 22nd of August 2008. Newcomers, look into cuttingthroughmatrix.com website and download as many of the previous talks as you want. It'll help fill in a lot of the blank pieces that they give you in history and show you the big foundations and movements that are behind the things that shape the world that you grew up in and live in. A world vastly different than the one you're taught about from media or from the school that you attend. Because nothing happens in this world on a grand scale on its own. Nothing is a big surprise to those at the top, since intelligence and intelligence services are part of the institutions that plan the big moves for society. Also look into alanwattsentientsentinel.eu for transcripts which you can download in the various languages of Europe. This last couple of days has been kind of sunny, except for today, because once again, in comes the big mush, you know, the sprayed mush from the planes in the sky. The thing that's been going on for years is they paint the sky with all these odd clouds and leave you with this white film above your head, and they're trying to create another thunderstorm today by the looks of it. And you can taste the metallic particles in your mouth when you walk outside. This is the sort of thing that's done on a grand scale by the big builders. Something the ordinary people would never ever consider or nor imagine. Nor can they even believe it's being done, because they wouldn't do it. That's why the psychopaths at the top can get away with it. And that's why they do it. They can get away with it. And that there are no complaints department, so much so that even the Department of Defense in Canada told a member of Parliament that they didn't have to tell her what they were doing, spraying the sky, which in itself was a sort of admission that they were doing it. And who pays for this massive Air Force anyway? Who's paying for the spraying in the sky that blurs out the sun, and they're calling it now global dimming? Well, of course, if you paint the sky full of polymer mush and chemicals so that HAARP can work on it for weather modification, you can also dim the light that's coming through. Yet no one wants to talk about it. And to be honest with you, until we do get this out in the open in a big way, I think it's game over, because this stuff is having its effect not only in the public, where bronchial complaints and chronic bronchitis, persistent recurring infections are happening, but it's also killing off the small birds as well. And even a couple of years ago, I could walk through the forest here. It was so bad that I was lucky to hear one bird my whole walk. That's what's happening. And that goes into everything. It goes into your vegetables that you grow. The plants suck it up. You eat it. You're breathing it in, and we're carrying all these heavy or metallic particles about in us. We're walking antennas, literally. But no media, no mainstream media is going to touch this story, because it's a must-be. It's so important to them, obviously. Isn't it odd that all the old sci-fi movies they showed you, like Blade Runner, had it raining all the time? You never saw the sky. Was that part of the predictive programming? And have we adapted so well to these movies that no one really seems to notice or even care? What's happened to the people? Remember what Skinner said about the environment. To change people, you just simply change something in their environment and they adapt to it. That's happening. Back with more after these messages.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Do you ever forget names or where you left your glasses? Christine also realized she didn't remember like she used to.
I'm forgetting where things are occasionally, or I go into a room and I'm wondering, now, why am I here?
She often forgot and misplaced things like her keys.
I would spend so much time looking for things like that, and I just would assume that that was just a part of aging.
Then she discovered Prevagen. Special proteins in our brain responsible for keeping cells alive that control learning and memory are depleted with age. Now there's a new option to replace these proteins, Prevagen. If your ability to remember is fading with time, try all-natural Prevagen, PrevaGen.com. That's Prevagen.com.
And I find that in my business, I'm able to focus on the tasks at hand.
To find out how to get a free bottle of Prevagen, call 888-814-0814.
And so I'm not as forgetful, and it's really helping me that way.
Call 888-814-0814.
Hi, I'm Ayala Jags. I'm in business just like you. I spend a lot of time on my cell phone, and I'm very concerned about the potential dangers of cell phone radiation, and you should be too. I found dozens of studies from around the world linking cell phone use to everything from skin conditions to brain tumors. It's shocking, it's scary. Numerous products claim to block cell phone radiation, but do they really? Then I found the Wave Shield. It's the only shielding device that has survived rigorous testing in FTC-listed lab and is proven to block up to 97% of cell phone radiation from entering your sensitive inner ear. The Wave Shield is easy to apply, it fits almost every phone, and it really, really works. Don't take chances. Protect yourself, protect your family. The Wave Shield is only $19.95. Take just a moment. Call and order your Wave Shield right now. The evidence is growing. Why take a chance? Protect everyone you love. Call now.
866-989-9147.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix. A couple of months ago, I read a story about a young blonde-haired boy in England that they were saying was a terrorist, to try to get home to us that anyone can be a terrorist, you see. Then it was followed by articles from MI5 and different intelligence agencies saying that the Islamist extremists had changed the way they look, were becoming more westernized. And this is all to get us used to the fact that, you see, we're all potential terrorists. That's what the whole information age is about, is we're observing all of us as we go through the big changes, the big planned changes to the Brave New World. And most folk will adapt. But in fact, most folk in about 5 years will forget who we're fighting anyway. It doesn't really matter to them. And they'll adapt to the changes and being monitored and watched and fingerprinted and so on. They already are, a lot of them. And those folk are gone. They're the casualties. They're gone. They were never really conscious to begin with. And here's a report from The Guardian. And it's from Thursday, August 21st. It says, MI5 report challenges views on terrorism in Britain. And then it goes on to say, and it shows you a little bit of the document, a photograph of this restricted document. And at the top of it, it says, Behavioral Science Unit Operational Briefing. This is for MI5. They have their own Behavioral Science Unit. Remember the Skinnerian type of psychology? And beneath it, it says, MI5 has concluded that there is no easy way to identify those who become involved in terrorism in Britain, according to a classified internal research document on radicalization seen by The Guardian. The sophisticated analysis based on hundreds of case studies by the Security Service says there's no single pathway to violent extremism. They concluded that it is not possible to draw up a typical profile of the British terrorist, as most are demographically unremarkable and simply reflect the communities in which they live. The restricted MI5 report takes apart many of the common stereotypes about those involved in British terrorism. They're mostly British nationals, not illegal immigrants, and far from being religious novices. Nor, the analysis says, are they mad or bad. Those over 30 are just as likely to have a wife and children as to be loners with no ties, research shows. The Security Service also plays down the importance of radical extremists to clerics, saying their influence in radicalizing British terrorists has moved into the background in recent years. The research carried out by MI5's Behavioral Science Unit is based on in-depth case studies on several hundred individuals known to be involved in or closely associated with violent extremist activity, ranging from fundraising to planning suicide bombings in Britain. The main findings include the majority are British nationals, and the remainder, with a few exceptions, are here legally. Around half were born in the UK, with others migrating here later in life. Some of these fled traumatic experiences and oppressive regimes and claimed UK asylum. And now they've got it there in the UK now, eh? But more came to Britain to study or for family or economic reasons and became radicalized many years after arriving. Far from being religious zealots, a large number of those involved in terrorism do not practice their faith regularly. Many lack religious literacy and could actually be regarded as religious novices. Very few have been brought up in strongly religious households, and there is a higher than average production or proportion of converts. Some are involved in drug taking, drinking alcohol, and visiting prostitutes. MI5 says there is evidence that a well-established religious identity actually protects against violent radicalization. I wonder what religion they're talking about. The mad and bad theory to explain why people turn to terrorism does not stand up, with no more evidence of mental illness or pathological personality traits found amongst British terrorists than is found in the general population. So in other words, you see, the general population are all suspect. This is what this whole article is getting at here. British-based terrorists are as ethnically diverse as the UK Muslim population, with individuals from Pakistan, Middle Eastern and Caucasian backgrounds. MI5 says assumptions cannot be made about suspects based on skin colour, ethnic heritage or nationality. Most UK terrorists are male, but women also play an important role. Sometimes they are aware of their husbands, brothers or sons' activities but do not object or try to stop them. While the majority are in their early to mid-20s when they become radicalized, a small but not insignificant minority first become involved in violent extremism at over the age of 30. Far from being lone individuals with no ties, the majority of those over 30 have steady relationships and most have children. MI5 says this challenges the idea that terrorists are young men driven by sexual frustration and lured to martyrdom by the promise of beautiful virgins waiting for them in paradise. It's wrong to assume that someone with a wife and children is less likely to commit a crime or act of terrorism. Those involved in British terrorism are not unintelligent or gullible, and nor are they more likely to be well-educated. Their educational achievement ranges from total lack of qualifications to degree-level education. However, they are almost all employed in low-grade jobs. The researchers conclude that the results of their work challenge many of the stereotypes that are here are held about who becomes a terrorist and why. Crucially, the research has revealed that those who become terrorists are a diverse collection of individuals fitting no single demographic profile, nor did they all follow a typical pathway to violent extremism. The Security Service believes that terrorist groups operating in Britain today are different in many important respects from the Islamic extremists activity in other parts of the world and from historical terrorist movements such as the IRA or the Red Army faction. The UK restricted MI5 operational briefing note, circulated within the Security Services in June, warns that unless they understand the varied backgrounds of those drawn to terrorism in Britain, security services will fail to counter their activities in the short term and fail to prevent violence radicalization continuing in the long term. It also concludes that the research results have important lessons for the government's program to tackle the spread of violent extremism. And it goes on and on and on. But basically what they're saying, as I say, through this whole article, is that everyone is obviously a potential suspect. You might just suddenly become a terrorist tomorrow morning when you wake up and you find that there's no sausages and eggs left or something like that, and go nuts and bananas. So you'll have to be watched critically. And no doubt this report here, this report will be followed up by another demand for more and more money for cameras or for more radical intrusion into people's homes. That's what will come out of this. I've no doubt about that at all. Because they always put up these types of articles in a series, building on the last one, and the last one, and the last one. That's how it works. So, here they are on a roll. Now, last week I also mentioned about the face profiling that's going on. Supposedly, it's funded by the Department of Defense in the United States, supposedly to look for people with autism. Now, why would the Defense Department care about autistic children? Well, I have no doubt some of their particular viruses happened to get into the injections that caused it in the first place. But here's an article here about wide faces. And this is from the Star, the Toronto Star, I guess, star.com, from August the 20th, 2008, by the health reporter. Next time you're getting your face scraped along the boards by the other team's enforcer, try and take a peek at his sneering mug. Chances are it's wider than yours. According to a new Brock University study that equates the width of a hockey player's face with his or her aggressive tendencies. See, here's eugenics. I told you they're all out in force now. Playing hockey, you can almost tell just by looking at them that this person might be more aggressive than another person, says Justin Carr, a graduate student and the lead study author. The study appears today in the journal Proceedings of the Royal Society. Now, the Royal Society is a Masonic society set up in about the 1500s, and its purpose was to really go into sciences in a deep way, but keep them fairly secret from the public. I think Francis Bacon even joined, but the condition was you had to put away your wife. You were not allowed to be married. So he put a sum of money aside and put his wife to the side and his children to join. That was mandatory in those days. And this thing is still going today, the same Royal Society. Study co-author Cheryl McCormick, a psychology professor, says recent studies show men's faces are broader relative to their height of their heads than most of women. No kidding. That's what you go to university for, right? To see that there's differences. Specifically, the measurement compared with the width of a face from cheekbone to cheekbone with the height of the face from the upper lip to the eyebrows. McCormick says the width ratio appeared to be independent of other bodily features like musculature or bone size. This is right out of the old Nazi World War II stuff, and here they are going at it here. This width-to-height sex difference, however, only emerged at puberty, leading researchers to suspect that it came as a result of the testosterone increase in boys' experience in their teenage years. The Brock team theorized that the more aggression-inducing testosterone a youth possessed, the broader his face would grow. These guys get paid grants for doing this stuff. They really do. Jay Leno would be in trouble, wouldn't he? We wanted to see the extent to which these individuals' differences in the face would actually be correlated with aggressive behavior, McCormick says. At first, the Brock team looked at the behavior of students playing a computer game designed to measure hostility. We found that in men, the facial metric that we used was correlated with how aggressive men were on this computer test, McCormick says. There was no such relationship in women. It was only in men. So men are the bad guys, you see. As his Carr, who won a hockey scholarship to a U.S. college and is an assistant coach of the varsity team, next looked at shinny players. I'll be back with more of these shinny players after this break.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat. And it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Hi, I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix. Going through some of the nonsense that are put out there today, that no doubt will eventually lead into security one way or another, because the eugenicists who now call themselves bioethicists, or bioethicists, I should say, bioethics committees, they're all into this facial recognition stuff that they've rehashed from their old World War II days. And it's back out in full force as they try to predict what we're all going to do by the shape of our faces and the length of our hands and all the rest of it. And they get paid for this. These professors and so on get paid to do all these Mickey Mouse tests. And no doubt if you give another bunch on the other side of the world the same test to do, they come out a whole bunch of different stories. But this is how they give you your ideas and your opinions. So now everyone's going to be looking at people with broad faces, wondering just how violent they are. And the same with the children. Should I get my children on tranquilizers because Johnny's getting a wide face? This will all tie into this because they want a drugged population. They even want to go further and go into the genes themselves at conception and remove those that they claim will be inferior or give you criminal tendencies. This is all part of this stuff. It's amazing to see the whole old pre and the pre-Nazi era come right back in full force in our lifetime under different names. And to continue with a part of this article here, because it's too lengthy and nonsensical, it says, we think that testosterone levels around puberty might be partly responsible for shaping the facial width to height ratio, he says. Not only would it shape the facial width to height ratio, but it might shape their brains to be more aggressive. So it shapes their, that's very technical, for a professor, it might shape their brain to be more aggressive. And they're getting paid for this stuff, to do these surveys. And no doubt stigmatize an awful lot of young men who happen to have wider faces than others. Quite something, isn't it? And most folk lap this stuff up because they're taught that the experts must be right, and they wouldn't lie to you. Now we'll go to the phones now, and we've got Anthony in Ireland. Are you there, Anthony? Hello.
Hi, Alan.
How are you doing?
Great. I stayed up till 25 past one over here to talk to you.
Uh-huh.
I always listen to your shows on your website, and I got your three books, which are great. I'd like to ask you two questions, if possible.
Yeah.
The first one is about satirical comedy, not necessarily sitcoms, but, you know, like The Life of Brian.
Mm-hmm.
And what effect does it have on people psychologically? Does it have any positive effects for the New World Order because they put on satirical shows like The Daily Show and The Colbert Report on the air, which cover torture, spying, and administration?
Yes. There's no doubt. I think Terry Gilliam did most of the writing for The Life of Brian, and he's also done the movie Brazil and a few other ones, and all these topics are on theme with this whole new world order idea, and he takes stuff from the past and he'll satirize it, but he also will bring it up to the present stage of today, showing you that the same techniques are used down through the ages in totalitarian type regimes. And he also shows you the public. See, it's interesting, even in The Life of Brian, he showed you that the masses want someone to do everything for them. I think that was one of the points he put in there. They didn't want to hear the message that they had to do something for themselves. And so there were some poignant little points that they made. But definitely with the ridiculing of a Jesus type deity under the guise of Brian, it didn't do them any favors otherwise either. So it goes both ways. In comedy, they can put an awful lot more out than they can put out anywhere else. The other movie was The Meaning of Life. And in there, they wrote at the very beginning of the movie that people would come to your homes to take your liver, like a donor. And again, it's a comedy. And they come for this man's liver. They cut it out because he was down as a donor, and then they work on the wife trying to get her to agree, and she said no. And then they give her a big song about how insignificant she is in the shape of things in the massive universe. And at the end of it all, he says, "Do you feel so big now?" She says, "No, you feel pretty small." He says, "Yeah, can we have your liver?" She says, "Okay." They're showing you the techniques that are used in satire, but they're actually used through indoctrination purposes and step by step in reality, because the public, unfortunately, will eventually agree to have anything done to them if the right process is used on them and the right type of indoctrination is put upon them, and especially when they've been taught that they're insignificant, that each of you is insignificant. What can I do about these big organizations or this big new world order? They were trying to get that point across as well. You cannot look for heroes. You got to do it yourself. Everyone is a hero for this war. He brought us with you.
So, you know, people who are awake and they're thinking of making a little short satire video on global warming to expose it in an amusing way, but
yes,
people are still asleep. Do you think it could actually backfire on them? Or could it actually have a positive effect as well?
It could have a positive effect. In fact, And Wired, not Wired, Spiked magazine. It's called Spiked magazine. From, I think, Thursday, the 21st of August, they do a satire on water neutrality and breathing. How to breathe properly so you can use less carbon dioxide. So that does work. That does work.
Mm-hmm.
If it's done the right way.
Maybe they'll put a meter on our necks and you'll have to put money in to continue breathing.
Hold on, and we'll come back after this break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Do you ever forget why you walked into a room or where you put the car keys? Do you feel like you might be slowing down mentally? That could be a sign that the brain is aging. Our brains control nearly every function of our body, including our ability to learn, remember, and concentrate. Sadly, as we age, our brain cells begin to die off. We may lose 30 to 50,000 a day. In youth, brain cells are protected by special proteins, but these proteins become depleted as we age. University scientists in Wisconsin found a unique calcium-binding protein in jellyfish that can protect brain cells. Prevagen is the only all-natural replacement source for these proteins. Studies show that Prevagen can reduce brain cell loss by up to an astounding 50%. Side effects? The only kind reported are the ones you want, like a healthier brain, a sharper mind, and clearer thinking. Find out more by visiting our website at Prevagen.com. You can also purchase Prevagen by calling 888-814-0814. That's Prevagen.com or 888-814-0814. Call today for a special offer from Prevagen.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt. This is Cutting Through the Matrix. Are you still there, Anthony?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah.
My second question was about a solution I've come across from Edward G. Griffin, the author of The Preacher from Jekyll Island, about the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
He was saying that become government, he wants the people who are awake to flood the elections and actually become government. And if you take it in Europe, it's only a couple thousand of people if you add up all the parliaments together. So it's probably impossible to wake up 6 billion. But if you woke up the millions who are awake, if they all run for parliament at the same time, they could control the government. Do you see any pitfalls in that solution?
See, we're not dealing with fools at the top. The great thing about European governments, and Britain especially, who are masters of this, is that they put on a facade of being clumsy and comical to the public through movies and sitcoms and so on. But the opposite is true. These characters hire the best, and they go through all kinds of scenarios, like war games, and how the public would react to different scenarios, and then how they would handle it, and so on. Right down to its most infinite detail. So I'm sure that they've got all that figured out. The thing is, too, that they know that they've got the public so socialized today, out of the loop of being involved in what's happening in their life, that they know they can ram this whole order upon us. And they've almost trained most of the people that government is separate from the people, and that the purpose of government and experts is just to rule you autonomously. That's what they've trained the public to think. And most folk really believe it. They don't believe that they have any say. They don't really care about it. In fact, most people. And we've been put right out of the loop. Before they gave the public's democracy, and talking about the possibility of having to give them democracy, the elite had meetings and they published their findings in it. And they realized that democracy would be good. It would stop revolutions every 4 or 5 years because people would live in hope they could vote the last bunch out and get a new bunch in. But by the same token, democracy was too slow and cumbersome for them to rule the public because they've got big plans at the top. And they definitely have business plans, long-term business plans with dates and times of completion. And Margaret Thatcher said that. She says, you know, democracy is too cumbersome. I belong to a parallel government, she said, which is the Royal Institute for International Affairs. And she says, we all are ex-presidents and prime ministers and top bureaucratic officials. We can get things done behind the scene. That's backed up by Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope. But he says, the men who go behind the scene working for the big foundations and organizations wield the true power, but they get no acclaim from the public who are unaware of their existence. The politicians are just front men. So this is such an old technique they've been at for a long time. It'd be a hard thing to take government by any means possible. And even if you did, you'd have chaos within it from all the competing factions involved. But I know what you're saying. See, the root of this thing isn't just the government itself. It's the whole system of money and commerce and economics. And it's tied up completely with that. And until we find another way of living, which is we can't go back, that won't happen. We can't go the way that the elite are taking us because it's towards our extinction. So we have to find a different way to go off at a tangent somehow and find a way of living where we don't have this dog-eat-dog society where the rich psychopath gets to the top and rules and the rest of us are left feeding on the morsels at the bottom. There's an awful lot has to be thought through here. And the public themselves who've been trained for so long to admire these people at the top, to get up there by any means possible, it'd be hard for them to envisage any other system but the one that they're born into, you see. How many people are really willing to take a chance into the unknown and go off in a different direction, I wonder?
Yeah, I couldn't imagine many doing that. But, you know, like, I thought most people are probably going to be ruled because they feel like that. But it'd be better to be ruled by people who are aware of the agenda and who have a conscience, you know, and actually care about giving them freedom rather than the psychopath.
Yes, yeah. And the psychopaths truly are out in force across the world, though. They've been setting this up for such a long, long time, this system they're bringing in. And they're not even pretending to be nice anymore. They used to pretend that they had to respond to public complaints. Now we don't even have that sham anymore.
Yeah, I hear people talking all the time who are awake, and they're just, they don't want to do anything.
No.
Except go on the internet, and the reason they give is that they're going to wait until it gets really bad, you know, until they come to take their family or something, and then they'll do something to stop it. But the way I think is that we're under attack from every single direction. Our food is poisoned, we're being poisoned in the air, we're already under major attack.
We are.
Trying to find something that will work.
Yeah, well, it truly would take enough people even to start with their children. That's a common denominator that gets to everyone and stop getting them injected, demanding the right to know what kind of food you're eating and have a say in how it's grown, what type it is and all the rest of it. But we have to start taking our rights back one by one, and it is for the children because most of us are going to die off pretty early. We've all been contaminated with so many shots and all the rest of it. So it's to keep our own species going. These guys at the top plan to eliminate us over a course of 20 years while they bring in a new, specifically a genetic-made type of human, post-human. We have to fight to retain ourselves. We're the only ones left now with sentience of any kind. The next type of human they create will be a perfect slave with no ability to appreciate, love, hate, or do anything else. Yeah. So we have the potential to do everything. Yeah.
Yeah, like people would probably love to have their child modified, you know, to get their blue eyes and all the other things that they're going to give them. And they'd love to get the microchip so they know where they are and everything.
Yeah, they thought it's wonderful, most of them, yeah. And they don't realize it's all...
Thanks a million for...
Yeah, well, thanks for calling. Right. The people don't realize that we're fighting for our very souls here, our sentience, our ability to think. And with thinking comes responsibility and worry, too, sometimes, and happiness, and pleasure and pain. That's the way it goes. And that's being a complete human. And if that's worth fighting for, then so be it. But to just lie and go quietly with a whimper, not with a bang, that's a coward's way out. And those people have already said, in other words, that life is worth nothing, and neither is their own, if they want to go out with a whimper. But to regain their own sovereignty and be proud of it for the first time. Just before going to the other two callers there, this is more than two now, but anyway, this is from that Spiked magazine, this little spoof they've done on breathing here. It says, a new campaign has been launched to encourage people to think before you breathe. Activists want us to breathe less because it sucks in oxygen and expels carbon dioxide. A report titled, Hold Your Breath, How Breathing Less Can Boost Biodiversity, implores healthy men and women over the age of 18 to try to limit themselves to 6 breaths per minute instead of the normal 12 to 20. You can even work out your breath footprint on a new online eco-breathalyzer where you input personal info, age, profession, level of physical exercise, and sexual exertion, and it tells you how many cubic meters of carbon dioxide you're spouting each year. And that's their way of satirizing this farce of biodiversity and save the world and carbon dioxide and all the rest of it. That's what we should be doing, more and more of that, to show them how crazy and stupid it all is, and that we know is crazy and stupid, and we know there's another agenda work behind it. Now we'll go to Tom in Massachusetts. Are you there, Tom? Hello, Tom?
Ellen.
Yes.
Question for you. So far as the progression of things goes, was there a particular point you feel, or from your research, that you found over probably the last maybe 100, 200, 500 years where they realized that there was a potential for changing people to the point of total dominance or control by the elite, where they could engage in genetic engineering? In other words, was this something that just got dropped in everybody's lap? It's like, oh, we've suddenly discovered that we can make people more docile and subservient to us if we work with them with medicine and drugs. Mm-hmm. Or is it something that has actually been known about or planned and yet is going according to a certain timetable, according to the age? What do you think?
Well, we know that in ancient times, the pharaohs, for instance, or those that ruled Egypt, understood diet perfectly. They knew what to feed slaves to keep them docile but healthy enough to work. This was followed down through the ages. In fact, the Egyptians at one point even tried getting the mothers of slaves to strap a sort of board on their heads, the foreheads of the children, to make them kind of flat-headed, which altered their personality, made them very, very docile, but it made them too docile and stupid, and so they threw that out the window. We find in India, they had the same techniques to do with diet. It wasn't, if they could restrict even the vegetarian diet to a certain few vegetables and so on, they could get the predictable outcome of the person not too bright, but bright enough to take orders and do their work. And then that was followed up with Thomas Malthus, with his essay on population to do with the same thing. He advised the British colonies what to feed their slaves, what kind of food to feed the slaves, but to keep them lethargic enough so they couldn't walk off to another plantation, even for the ones who were so-called freed slaves. They had no energy to walk off, and they'd stay around the plantation and work there and be docile. These are old sciences that have always been known, and that's why they went for food again this time. But, of course, with the use of alchemy, as like they used to call it, from the 1500s onwards, they were right into using pharmaceuticals, what we now call pharmaceuticals, to alter the brain chemistry of the slave race. And that's why Huxley and others promoted worldwide use on the general public of drugs, drugging the public to make them docile. But they also knew that through science and through understanding nature, they'd get to the point where they could literally find the very, very genes which makes you, you, an individual you, and alter them. And that's why they went full steam ahead from the beginning of the 1900s into genetic research. And they knew about this stuff long before Watson came along with his double helix. And it was taught in medicine up until the 70s that they'd find the genes one day. And then you read the report by Rutherford, the greatest mathematician that Britain ever had. And in his own biography in about 1915, he tells you that he was employed full-time working on genetic research. Now, what would you need a mathematician for if you could not see or find the genes? They obviously had them mapped out then. And that's how things are really done in the real world. We are given a bottom level of science and knowledge and even what they're up to, and they have stuff at the top that they've probably held on to for 100 or more, maybe even 200 years. That's how it's presented to us. So we always kept thinking in the past, oh, they can't do that yet. They're not that advanced. That's why it works, and that's why they can do it, and they do it. There's no inoculation they gave you from the very beginning that they did not know what the effects would be on the physical body, whether it's autism or autoimmune problems or whatever else. You cannot inject into the human body foreign DNA from animals right into the bloodstream without it having an effect. And we know from even the video that the CBC showed in Canada of Dr. Salk talking, he said, oh yes, we knew there was over 100 viruses in every polio vaccine, and these viruses were live, and some of them caused cancer, like the Simian 40 virus. Its only purpose was to create cancer. So they knew what they were up to from the beginning.
It's funny, I just get the distinct feeling, it's almost like, you know, like you can't put your finger on it type thing, feeling where everything is timed. In other words, everything is moving ahead according to the agenda that they have prepared so that nothing will deter it and nothing will stop it. This is like some kind of a steamroller, it seems, where when they want things to come into play, it comes into play at that particular time.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
That's why, like you said a while ago, we better find a big hole because, I mean, if they're successful, the sentient ones are going to have to dig pretty deep to get away from this.
Oh, yeah. If it came out to the public, what's even a fraction of what's been done deliberately to them, with thousands of people involved, scientists, bureaucrats, military personnel, and politicians and so on, big foundation owners, you'd have no option but to go after them.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I'll let somebody else have a turn, but it was nice talking to you again, Alan.
Thanks for calling.
We'll see ya.
Bye now. Now we've got Dale from New Delhi. Are you there, Dale?
Yes. Hello, Alan. Can you hear me?
Yes, I got you.
I would ordinarily be Dale from Denmark, but I'm going to be here in Delhi for a few weeks.
Okay.
And could not resist calling in anymore. I'm going to ask two very quick questions, Alan, and then I'd like to hang up and hear your answer.
Mm-hmm.
The first question has to do with Carol Quigley and Tragedy and Hope. And I'm asking you why it is this man can write this tomb of a book, some 1,090 pages, and the last two words of the book are capitalized, and they are the words inclusive diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And the context of the sentence, just to refresh you, is he starts out saying that some things we clearly do not know yet, including the most important of all, which is how to bring up children to form them into mature, responsible adults. But on the whole, we do know now, as we have already shown, that we can avoid continuing the horrors of 1914 to 1915, and on that basis alone, we may be optimistic over our ability to go back to the tradition of our Western society and to resume its development along its old patterns of inclusive diversity. And the words inclusive diversity are capitalized, and I've been pondering this, and I just can't wrestle it into some coherence. I'd like you to, if you have some insight into what he might have been speaking to, I'd really appreciate it. That's the first question. And the second question is, do you have any thought points about how we can conceptualize the family in sort of the context of this brave new world that I've been following your work for quite some time? So if you have any ideas of how we can conceptualize family in the context of, say, someone like myself who's the patriarch of the family and is struggling to sort of move
into the direction. I'll ask that when I come back from this break.
Thank you, Alan.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with colds, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
There you go.
Hi folks, Ronnie McMullen here, host of The Prophetic Watch. As a radio host, many products cross my desk every week. Few products are truly worth endorsing because they don't work or there's some kind of catch or gimmick. Dr. Miller's Life Change Tea does exactly what it says. It cleans your body of chemicals, toxins, and parasites, and the effect is you lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. I wouldn't put my name behind this product if it didn't work. Here's how you order. Online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us, 928-308-0408. That's area code 928-308-0408. Finally, a natural product you won't be disappointed in. Getthetea.com.
I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix. And just to try and answer the last caller, which is not so easy, but it comes to Quigley, because Quigley wasn't just a mentor of Bill Clinton. He wasn't just a professor at Georgetown University. He was also an advisor to the State Department and the top diplomatic corps of the United States. He was the historian for the Council on Foreign Relations, which is just the American branch of the Royal Institute of International Affairs. So what he was talking about there was the old idea they had when they sold the Bill of Goods through the United Nations to the world, that everyone could come in into this global structure and be inclusive and retain their sovereignty at the same time, their diversity, if you like, at the same time. That's what he was referring to when he said that. Now, as I say, he was the historian for the Council on Foreign Relations at the I think it was the Harold Pratt Building in New York City, and had access to their files. He knew the global agenda. He was all for that global agenda, but he was going by what they used to call the inclusiveness of all countries who would be part of a system but still retain their sovereignty, which is a misnomer. He knew himself that it could not happen. You're either a global structure or you're sovereign. It's one or the other, and that's the problem. And he claimed that World War One was brought about by the countries all competing with each other. Competition has to stop in this new inclusive system that they were setting up then. That's where free trade comes in. It's not free at all. It's selective trade only. So they stop the feuding and the fighting by selecting which big moguls they're going to allow to use free trade. That's really what it is. Where it comes with the family now has been so much under attack steadily since really the end of World War II onwards that it doesn't stand much of a chance. Indoctrination to male and female, and perhaps more in the feminist agenda, has done so much damage that it's almost irreparable. It would take literally a global catastrophe to make us all work together for survival once again. But as long as the artificial system exists, the radicalization of the genders will go on, and they'll be each other's throats until it's all over. That's the unfortunate part about it. Women, the wealthy women, say quite openly that men are just sperm donors. That's all they are to them. They don't need them. And they are being used to push for all the genetic modification to create the perfect offspring, etc. They go shopping, literally shopping for sperm. So they said 60 years ago in their books they would aim most of the propaganda at the female. It has worked. Unfortunately, the wealthier ones are bringing about what will be their own demise. They won't need them in the future. They won't need men either, or women with artificial wombs, because we are going into the Huxley Brave New World, where silicone wombs will be used. So I hope that tries to answer it. Plus ID, when you take the two letters, ID is a big word up in the big ranks at the top. It's ideal design or intelligent design, because he knew what they were working towards, and he had no objections about creating a new type of human, and that the old type were basically obsolete too. Now we'll go to Kyle in Connecticut. Are you there, Kyle?
Alan.
Yes.
You know, it seems like they're within the last 10 yards of scoring a touchdown, and they're all excited they're going to get to see this ideal design.
Yeah.
And, you know, how much further can they dehumanize us?
As much as we let them. As much as we let them. That's basically it. But thanks for calling. That's the end of the show now. And from Hamish, myself, in Ontario, Canada, it's good night to me, your God. All your gods go with you.
Gold has been.